Grace Doral is a hardworking peace activist. Chances are, if you've been to many progressive events in Southern California in the past 2 years, you've met him. He's the guy with the card table piled high with homegrown copies of a videotape he's selling called What I've Learned About U.S. Foreign Policy. 2 years ago, Frank started compiling excerpts from what he considers the best talks and documentaries he's ever seen on U.S. foreign policy. He turned it into a compelling 2-hour videotape that you can buy directly from Frank, or you can order it through his website, addictedtowar.com. In recent months, Frank has added a book to his table, a cartoon book called Addicted to War, Why the U.S. Can't Kick Militarism. It was written and drawn by Joel Andreas in 1993 and has been out of print for a while. Frank recently rediscovered it, convinced Joel to update it to include more recent events like 9/11, and now it's being reissued jointly by Frank and AK Press. Back in February, Hotmail shut down Frank's email account without any warning. Despite queries from Frank and many of his friends and colleagues to the company, Hotmail has yet to provide what he considers a full explanation of why they shut him down. One message from the company says Frank was guilty of sending spam. Another says he was sending offensive material. Frank can't figure out what he's sent that would qualify as either, and wonders whether he has been targeted because of his activism. Perhaps the worst of all, when they shut down his account, Frank lost an address book listing more than 800 people. Well, Frank's email account is on Yahoo now, and you can reach him by emailing fdorrell, that's F-D-O-R-R-E-L, at yahoo.com. He's still hard at work selling his videotapes and books. He says that the attention from having his Hotmail account shut down has actually spurred interest in his work, and he's farther ahead than he ever was before. KPFA up in Berkeley even used his video and book as premiums to subscribers during their most recent fund drive. I talked to Frank back in March, not long after his Hotmail account had been shut down and the orders started pouring in for his videotape and book. We talked about how he got involved in activism, his work, and how a guy who didn't know anything about filmmaking or publishing went about making a video and publishing a book.
Well, I got involved from listening to KPFK, and I didn't know about it. I worked for USC. I was a driver for a courier for the University of Southern California for 21 years, and I had a job where I drove all day long for a thing called television programs, where I actually went to the aerospace industries. I went to the military industrial complex, but at the time I didn't know any. I was just doing my job, and after I had done the job for a year and a half or 2 years, I was just playing with the radio channel and discovered Alan Watts talking on KPFK, and he was so interesting. Every Monday at 2 o'clock, I would listen to him, and after a while, I pushed the station in, so I always had it, and that's how I discovered KPFK. Now, Alan Watts didn't talk about these kind of issues that we're dealing with here, but that's how I got involved. And then I think the first person I may have heard who really got me into this might have been Noam Chomsky. I can't say for sure. It could have been Blaise Bompain here from Los Angeles. I know Blaise was the first person I heard speaking live on the air. He had his own show. But whoever it was, and then I started hearing a series of them, many of them that are on my tape. And I had never really heard these things before. They were talking about U.S. foreign policy. They were talking about that our government, our military, the CIA, was supporting death squads all over the world, that supported governments that terrorized their own people, that were exploiting people, that trained and armed this type of activity all over the planet in different ways, sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly. And that was my beginning. And I started believing it right away for whatever reason, maybe because I am not really invested in our society. I never had a real career, so it was easy for me to hear it, maybe. Or maybe I was just the kind of person that wanted to know these things. But they bothered me right away. That I felt there was a need, other people needed to hear this stuff. And so that's how I got involved. And then I started being a sponsor on the fund drives, which is interesting because that's what we're having right now here at KPFK. And I would send in my money, and they'd send me back the tape of whoever. I remember John Stockwell, the first time I heard John Stockwell, the ex-CIA officer speaking, and I got his tape, The Dark Side of U.S. Foreign Policy, which I still have today. And it's still the best talk I've ever heard on the CIA. And I just had to pull, remember when I heard on the radio, I had to pull over off the freeway and just sit there. And so that's my beginning. I started collecting those people's tapes, and then they would come to town, and I'd go hear them speak, and I'd buy their books, and I started learning about the various peace groups and the movements, and hearing more and more of this, and I guess the first issue I really got really involved with was what we were doing in Nicaragua, because that was what was happening at the time, and many of the people on the radio were talking about it, and I met people that had been there, and they were from there, and what they were describing was completely different than what I was hearing, what you'd hear on the mainstream, or what you'd read in the papers, or watch on TV, or anything. And I started learning that the Contras were the terrorists. We supported the Contras, and they were real terrorists. And the Sandinistas really were good guys. They really had overthrown the dictator that we backed, Somoza. And before him was his father, and it was years of this Somoza dictatorship that's sponsored by the United States. And this was my first learning about all this, and it was a typical situation that I found was over and over again the same. The United States sponsored and backs a dictatorship who oppresses their own people on behalf of our corporations and on behalf of the small amount of rich people in that country. And the majority of people live lives that aren't very good, and if they try to do anything about it, they might get killed or beat up or thrown in jail or any number of these things. And the Sandinistas had actually overthrown the dictator, were implementing land reform, health care, education, all things people need in life, and they were actually good guys. And a side story, I remember before all this, I remember reading, believe it or not, in Playboy magazine, in the interviews, which I used to like to read. I look at the Playboy too, but the interviews were pretty good. And I read this interview with some of the leaders of the Sandinistas that were, Daniel Ortega was one of them, but I think it was Edgar Borges or something. He had been schooled in the United States, so, you know, they were talking about what they were doing, and it was so interesting. And then when I heard all this stuff on KPFK, it all matched up. And so I figured, these are good guys, and I met more and more people involved, and slowly that's how I got started, you know. And then I did join the Veterans for Peace, after the Persian Gulf, I don't want to call it a war, you know, after we bombed Iraq and killed a couple hundred thousand people, and I got involved with Veterans for Peace, and I started supporting the Office of Americas whenever, I don't know, way back, and Blaze and Teresa are big heroes of mine, and I didn't know them then, but I know them now, and they know me now, and it's been, and then in all this, almost 20 years, I've gotten to know so many of the people in the peace movement here in Los Angeles and the various groups. I work with the International Action Center, which is Ramsey Clark's group. I'm friends with Don White of CISPUS. And I'm probably leaving a lot of others out, but we're all in it together. So that was how I got started. And right away I was trying to tell other people about these things that didn't know, and I was trying to get them to listen to these tapes I got and get them involved. And people weren't interested, I found out. I found out right away. Most people didn't want to know any of this stuff. Although I did learn some of it at my church, the Unitarian Church in Santa Monica. They were very much involved with what was going on in Central America. They were very good about that then. And so I did, and say they would have some of these people come and speak. I think Blaze spoke at the church, and Charlie Clements, who was a doctor, who was a Vietnam veteran, pilot who went to El Salvador to help the poor. And people like that would come and speak at our church. So I was getting it from the church, my church, and from KPFK, and then meeting more and more people. And different degrees of involvement. But I noticed it was very easy to get uninvolved by just not seeing those people, because everyone else in my life didn't know these things, and it was very easy to forget about it until I go hear another speaker and get jolted back into reality, or hear somebody new on the radio and go, oh yeah, that's right, this stuff is real. And so that was my beginning in the peace movement. Well, my video compilation I put together after a long process and many versions of it. It's called What I've Learned About U.S. Foreign Policy, which really describes what the tape is. And the new subtitle of it is now called The War Against the Third World, And then we've kept the old subtitles as another, CIA covert operations and U.S. military intervention since World War II, what you didn't learn in school and don't hear on the mainstream media. Very key issues, all of those are. And I got the idea to do this years ago as a way of showing people what it is I was trying to tell them and they didn't want to see. And you can't take every single tape to everybody. You know? So I thought, well, if I could put so many of these people that I've been hearing on the one tape, it might convince people. Or at least we could show them, look, it would show them at least for nothing else. I could say, this is who I've been listening to. This is where I'm getting my information from. You can judge for yourself by seeing that. They can speak better than I can. They are people that have been there in one way or another. Some of them were in the military. Some were in the CIA. Some were journalists who saw the truth. Some were religious people who saw the truth. Others are just scholars who've studied it. And there's probably others. Others have been maybe victims who've spoken out against it. But all these people have had the courage to speak the truth. They have seen it about what our country's done around the world. And my idea was to put as many as I could, of them I could on one tape to show others. And that's where this idea came from. It took me over 6 years to ever even start it. I didn't have any idea what I was doing. I'm not a filmmaker. I didn't know what to do. But I started it. My first tape I made over 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, had the same title on it, but it was 8 hours long, had 17 segments. And I did it all myself here at home, using my Sony Hi8 and recording off all these videos I had collected over the years. And I thought it was really great. I think it still is great. But it wasn't very good technically and visually and all, and too long for most people. But I told everybody it was a mini-series. Just look at one segment at a time, or 1.5 hour at a time, or 1 hour at a time. But you don't have to look at 8 hours at a time. But what you have here is a great history of all these people talking about these issues. And I was very proud of it, but after a year of getting it out to people and most people not looking at it, and a lot of technical problems with it too, especially 8 hours in long play, and so some TVs wouldn't even play it, right? Some VCRs couldn't handle it, and I finally let go of the hour tape. But that was my beginning, and then I made my own 2-hour tape at home, the same process, and then eventually 2 years ago, I went into a studio and worked with a young woman in Santa Monica, Danielle Elliott, who was my editor, and we sat down and over a period of over 20 hours during that week, we made the tape I have now pretty much what I've learned about U.S. foreign policy. But she was a professional editor, and it was much better. But I made all the choices on it, and those choices came from going through all the material and watching it over and over again and trying to bring out not just the best people, but what they were saying that was the most important. And I thought the things they were saying that would convince people the best. And so that was what we did. Now the tape has been re-edited as of about 2 months ago by a man in Canada and who had the digital equipment, and it does look even better than it did. But it's still the same 10 segments we had before, which I'll tell you about. But it's a little more professional looking. He uses special effects, and he made it look better. And so that's the tape I have out there now. Not to be confused, that it's not an updated tape. It's just cleaned up tape.